Now to share her experience, strength, and hope with us, we have Anya.
I'm a very shy and nervous alcoholic, I'll just say that. I really do qualifications, so just bear with me. It's very hard for me to get up in public and share my story. I will begin with my bottom because that still remains a really important part of my story that I have to remember on a regular basis because things got really bad for me. So it was 4th of July weekend of 2008, and I had a magnum of vodka a day alcohol habit. And I was drinking 24 hours a day. I couldn't stop drinking for more than a couple of hours without going into withdrawal and having a seizure. And at that point, I was physically dependent on alcohol. I'm nearly 6 foot tall and I weighed close to 100 pounds. I was gray and I had cramps in my extremities and my fingers and toes. I had been trying to get sober for about 4 years prior to that weekend, and I'd been in and out of the rooms. I went to my first meeting in London, I think 4 or 5 years before. But most recently, like in the last 6 months leading up to that point, I'd been going to meetings in the West Village where I was living at the time, at Perry Street. And there'd been quite a few AAers who had watched my steady decline. And it was those people who sat with me over that weekend and made sure that I didn't die until I could get into the detox program at Bellevue. And they took me there on Monday morning, first thing in the morning. And I wanted to do an outpatient detox. And I thought they would give me Librium and I could go home and detox on my own. I'd done it that way a few times. But the doctors took one look at me and sent me to the ER. And in the ER, I had a heart attack and I died and I woke up in the ICU with a team of neurologists. Examining me. Bellevue's a learning teaching hospital affiliated with NYU. So I had this this group of doctors who were marveling at the fact that I didn't have permanent neurological damage because of the way that I'd been drinking. I spent the next 5 days in the ICU having DTs and going through the withdrawal process. For the first couple of days, they wouldn't give me any Librium because my blood alcohol level had been 0.4, 0.8 when I'd been admitted. I didn't look like I did today either. That's about half what I am now. So I had auditory and visual hallucinations, and I went through a very difficult couple of days there, which I do remember part of. Bellevue ICU is not a nice place to have to go through withdrawal or DTs. I had a police guard on the door because there was a maximum security prisoner in the bed across from me who had to be handcuffed to his gurney because he kept trying to rip out his IV and stab himself in the private parts. It was, I mean, if you can imagine, like, going through all of that and trying to determine what was going on, it was a bit horrifying. But I did have visits from AAs while I was in hospital, which kept me going. And I did remember a couple of things which my sponsor at the time had told me, which don't make as much sense to me now, but the two things that I kept repeating to myself in this state of withdrawal were, this is your path, this is your process, and this is what the perfection of God looks like now. And they were the two things that my sponsor at the time had repeatedly told me when I had questions. And I've been through several sponsors since her, depending on, you know, different stages of my sobriety. I never had a problem with step one from quite early on into my drinking. I knew that I was an alcoholic. I knew that I drank alcoholically, suicidally even. I drank and used to black out or to pass out, and I wouldn't stop until I got to that point on a daily basis. For me, the hard part was step two. And when I walked out of Bellevue, I felt like I had finally gotten step two, because I realized I really shouldn't be alive, you know, or I had been given a second chance for a reason. That's something that I still carry with me today, that sense of borrowed time or playing with house money, and I still consider myself very lucky and grateful. I grew up in Australia. Both my parents were artists. My father left when I was 11 and my mom left when I was 15. My sister was a junkie, and I watched her shoot up a lot when I was a teenager and tried to help her detox and unsuccessfully. So that kind of scared me away from intravenous drug use, thankfully. But it didn't scare me away from anything else. I'm basically in the business of more. More alcohol, cocaine, Valium, Vicodin, anything you have, I want. And I want until I am incapable of doing it anymore. I don't really like to talk about my childhood because I think that everyone has a past, and I don't really blame my parents or my upbringing for the way that I drank or used. One thing that I think about in my sobriety, the difference today between my life now and when I was active, are the promises. And I guess for me, it's been like 2.5 years. And that's how they say that one of the promises is that you'll have a newfound sense of freedom and serenity. And I think for me, that comes with the fact that when you've been faced with these adversities that we're faced with when we're drinking and using, whether it's emotional abuse or rape or, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, some of us end up in a coma because of our self-inflicted, you know, abuse. But if we can overcome this stuff successfully, you know, and we end up here and we're given another chance at living, I feel like we can pretty much face anything that's put in our path. And, you know, that, I think with that thought, there comes like a sense of freedom and serenity that, I've come through all of this, so, you know, everything else will be okay, you know. And that's something that I carry with me. I don't feel as much fear or anxiety these days, and I say as much, but, I do feel genuine happiness these days without without the influence of drugs or alcohol, which I never thought was possible. I was never like I hear a lot in AA when people are sharing that they. Especially in the summertime, the change of the seasons and stuff, so like people are fantasizing about having a beer or, you know, a glass of wine or something. That was never a fantasy for me. I was always fantasizing about having, you know, a handle of vodka, a magnum of vodka in a dark room by myself and an eight ball, and that wasn't enough for me, you know. So for me today to like walk down the street and be able to like listen to my iPod and smile and you know feel happiness is really a miracle. I do believe in the steps. I do work the steps. I think that the steps help you evolve spiritually. I think that therapy helps you solve the underlying problems which have precipitated your drinking or using. So I'm in therapy and I work the steps. That's just me and it's what works for me. And I'm a big advocate of sponsorship and fellowship, which is also revelatory to me because I was very afraid of people when I came into the rooms. I drank, as I've mentioned, in isolation. And I was afraid of absolutely everyone. But it's been the friends that I've made in AA that have actually carried me through the last couple of years. Yeah, I'm very, very grateful for them. I think that we are... Oh, I've got so much time left. I think that we're really lucky in AA because we get, if we choose to, we have access to... this wisdom on a daily basis, or an hourly basis, if we want it, then it's like we get to hear what works and what doesn't work, and it's like life experience 101, and you know, it's this. Process of evolution majority of the world is not tapped into, and I think we're really blessed to have that. What else do I need to say? I go to meetings every day. Sometimes I go twice a day. I know people probably think this is a little excessive, and how do I find the time to do this? I freelance, so I have a lot of time on my hands usually. But I didn't drink weekly or use weekly. I drank 24/7, so I had to work a program like that. And that's what keeps me sober and clean today. I don't really have anything else to say. I'm sorry. I'd really like to hear from everyone else, but.